Welcome to the Eagles Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter.
This weekend coming up is our 20th year anniversary celebration. It's weird to say 20 years because then that means my sister and my brother and I are getting really old because I remember being a teenager when my dad was going up north to a cabin, and I remember the moment we were stuck in traffic and God dropped in his heart this idea about Eagles Nest, and I'm like, Eagles Nest, okay. I was like 12 or something like that. And here we are, you can do the math, I'm 33, and God is blessing the socks off of this church. It is such a privilege to have been here that long. Many people have come, many people have went, many people have come back, and life happens. It's such a privilege to have this calling as a church that's devoted to this community and the family here. It's a family-strong church. So if you're new here, if the first time you're here, you're welcome to come and hang out. Next Friday at 7 p.m. is a praise night, and it's a praise night. We're not going to get all crazy worshipy. It's going to be a good time, all right? Young folks, bring your college buddies out. Young folks, bring your high school buddies out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have food. It's starting at 7 o'clock, okay? Saturday, we're not going to be here. We're going to be at Project Joseph, which is in the falls behind the winter land area. We're going to have festivities start at 11 a.m. Dale Enders, he wants to be called Sergeant. He is in charge of all food. So there will be lunch provided. It's going to be a 3 to 4 hour gig. It's going to be a lot of fun, games, probably a church-wide baseball game, something crazy. I'll hold you in suspense. It's going to include a hayride with some of the other stuff we've got going on. And then we're going to land here on Sunday morning with a wonderful celebration. Dad's going to have an awesome message as normal. We're going to have a baptism. We've got folks signing up for baptizing. If you want to get baptized, I would encourage you to do it. We would love to do it with you. If you want to do it because you just want to do it on the 20 year, that's cool too. We've been baptized many times, many of us, haven't we? So why not get baptized and see how deep that pool is behind us? All right? If you want to get baptized, talk to this beautiful lady, Desiree, or my beautiful wife, Kiri, and we will get you hooked up. 20 year next year, Wendy's talking to me about that awesome shirt. If you haven't signed up for a shirt yet, hopefully they got extras. She's shaking her head no, but maybe in faith they'll come out with an extra one. Give her your money today, and you'll get your shirt next week. Is that pretty much it? And we have two really awesome birthdays coming up next weekend, too, just as an FYI. My dad's turning the young, ripe age of 60. And he does, I gotta say, he runs pretty well on the soccer field. He runs better than most 30-year-olds, that's a fact. And my father-in-law is athletic, too. He's got a birthday right after. So be blessed and make sure you wish your pastors happy birthdays, all right?
In the scriptures, in 1 John chapter 1, I'm excited to share with you what I have received from the Lord. We've been looking at 1 John together, and I'd like to read it. Would you follow? In fact, would you, Nathan, will you lift up the screen and let the sun shine in? Do we got any sunshine behind us? Amen. That which was from the beginning, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are very powerful words. It's a summation of the gospel. It's also a purpose. It gives the purpose for our lives and the reality of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to look at the fourth phrase in that with me today. I want to focus on the part that says that our hands have handled. We've been looking at that with a closer study and just letting the Holy Spirit speak to us. We've learned that the message John was describing was not his own ideas. It came from the beginning. Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's down in a summation of John chapter 1. John is referring to the message that came from God. Then he said, we've heard it. So there was an initial hearing. All have heard the revelation of God by just taking a breath and seeing His created order so that no one will have an excuse as they stand before the Lord and experience the reality of God after this earthly life. Then he says, not only did he hear, but he had seen it. So there was a glimpse. But not only did he get a glimpse, he stood and gazed and looked upon it. So we've looked at those different phrases. This morning, as I come to the word, our hands have handled, I want to focus on your hands. I want to focus on touching Jesus. And I believe that we'll be able to do that as we take the symbols of the body and blood of Christ, the communion table, the bread and the cup, as we partake of that here this morning together. I'm asking the Lord to do something very special for you. I'm asking Him to do something very special for me too. A while ago, you were encouraged to say, God, what do you have for me? Or Lord, this is what I feel I need from you. Last week, I left off saying that as one looks or gazes upon the Lord and all else gets moved aside, you cannot look long on the Lord without finding His great mercy. His mercy is forever and ever and ever. And so as we remember the mercy and then take into account the touching element of the Lord, which is where I want to guide you to here this morning. And in hope of that you will say, Lord, I want you to touch me. Or in an inversion of that statement, you could say, I need to touch the Lord. I think one is both the same, and I want to talk about that, about using your hands. John said, I handled the word of life. He heard it. It was a message that transcends time. It was eternal, and it stepped into time in the person of Jesus. John heard Him. John saw Him. John gazed upon Him. But then he gets really personal or kinetic. There's a kinetic energy. There's a handling, a touching. And he says, that which our hands have handled of the word of life. What is John talking about? Well, perhaps we might get an insight into it by looking at the Greek word that he used. In fact, I'm holding this in my hands like I used to. Stu came over and said, Dad, you know, with some of the computer, we're updating our computers. I'm working with a MacBook Pro. It doesn't speak the same language as the Microsoft I've learned, so I'm on a slower curve as some of y'all. But he said, maybe you should just go back to printing it out. So I'm holding in my hands how I used to, so I feel like I own this thing. It's in my belly, but sometimes between my belly and my brain and my tongue, stuff gets twisted. Anybody ever have that? Well, see, you could hear something, and what did you hear? Well, I heard the birds. I heard thunder. I heard the voice of God. They were all hearing a noise, but you don't always get to figure out what you heard. And sometimes the noise comes and it's gone. A hunter learns how to do that, identifying that wasn't the crackle of a squirrel. That was too methodic. That was four footprints. That's what I'm here for. That was a deer, and you're looking around. Well, so hearing is a sense, and then you look that way, and you might catch a glimpse, and you gaze, and then you feel the shape, but it's entirely different to handle with your hands. And that's what John is talking about. Here's the word John used for describing that. It's Selah'afo. Like Selah, which means pause and think about it, is Selah'afo. And it actually means, by definition in the Greek language, to manipulate, figuratively, to search for, feel after, handle, and touch. And this is, I save this definition for last because this clinches it for me. To verify by contact. Will you say that? I want to verify by contact. No one said it. I want to verify by contact that Jesus is who he said he was. I heard he was. I saw it. I saw Jamie getting all goosebumpy up here and Desiree standing next to him. But that's not the same thing as handling it yourself. And so that's what we're talking about. I want to handle the word of life with my hands. And that's important. So I have a little study that I want to share with you before we come to communion table. So that you can verify by contact that Jesus is the Savior that he promised the world he would be. And I have verified by contact, and I hope I inspire you. I hope the Holy Spirit gets in my words. I feel him already. But just a couple of thoughts here. When you really think about it, I remember sending letters to Colleen, and this is not a rabbit trail. This is all planned. It was ordained by heaven, so don't think I can't follow him. Just stay with me, and I'll take you right to the throne of grace. I heard this girl's voice when I was 18 years old, and I started going down to Rockford to enhance my seminary studies. One of the great teachers worked down there and served their family, and all of that is Honor Steve Hill, and I heard about her, and then I saw her. Then when I got a little older and had enough money to set aside, I started gazing upon her. But I didn't handle her yet. And I did this thing on my ring as a finger. I mean, on my finger as a ring. And then, here's the point I want to make. With verifying by contact, the most intimate action of love is expressed. And fruitfulness occurs. Procreation occurs. You don't get that over the phone. You don't get that by taking a look. You get that by relationship and contact and the touch. And God created that sense. It's the last sense developed, and it's very important. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. Very interesting to note a couple of things I want to point out. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3, the first use, the law of first use, I love the scriptures, I know many of you do too, and there's many important ways to study it. One of the ways that you can learn something important is the law of first use. When God says something first, he usually is getting a precedent in order. A stream is being created, and much will flow in that. The first use of touch was in the garden. The devil used the word, and as it's contained in the scriptures, the word says this, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, he was adding to the words that God spoke and lying by misrepresentation, because God did not say to Adam, you shall not touch it. He said, you shall not eat of it. He didn't say you shouldn't look at it. God just said, don't partake of it and don't eat of it. So it's an interesting just to point out, and I need to move along. I can't believe it's 11:15. Gosh. Will you give me permission to visit? I can't visit this next week. It's our 20th anniversary. Okay, saddle up your horse. The interesting thing about this is the first use became negative. So we can learn something from this, that the sense of touch can go either way. And God didn't step in and say, don't do that. He said it once, and then he gave us the power and authority to choose to see, to hear, to taste, to touch, and to believe, to not to believe. And then, so we know what happened there. And I think the adversary was perhaps the greatest market mania guru there was. If you get him into the, where's Scotty? If you get him into the showroom, sit him in the driver's seat, there's a really good chance they're going to drive that thing home. They'll even sign 5 years of their, income to get that thing. And so there's something about having a touch. A couple of other uses of the word touch in the negative area. Because God is very clear, there are some things that we should not do. I don't know where you're at in all of the latest politically correct thing. And all. I stepped out of that in the 90s when, you know, I thought, okay, this election depends upon my prayer. And then when the election didn't go the way we were praying, it's like my faith caved in. And I just, oh my, I think the world's going to end. I guess Jesus isn't who he said he was. And then some ministers came along in the early 90s and said, hey, you know what? Psalm 2. You know what the Lord does about it? He laughs. He laughs at mankind's attempt to be God. When the rulers of the world and have set themselves against the Lord and against his Christ, and the Lord says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. For yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. It's going to work out just the way God said it was. You don't have to be afraid. And so there's some things that we shouldn't do to be politically correct as I'd rather be divinely correct and be biblically established. And so whether you're able to have 10 commandments rolling around in your thoughts, I hope that you'll take those directives and teach them to your children because they will guide your children into the right way to live. And so the Lord says to us through every age, there are things that I'm letting you know I prohibit. Thou shalt not. Still means thou shalt not. And that's pretty pretty clear to me. God said many times in the scriptures that I'm forbidding you to touch this. In fact, he forbid King Abimelech to touch Sarah, Abraham's wife, by divine intervention because he didn't want her moved off his plan for her life. I think I heard that in our brother's testimony today. God intervened supernaturally. So God does that. Did you know that the don't touch element, beside the Ten Commandments, it's there for a reason. In Exodus chapter 19, when Moses was called up the mount to get those Ten Commandments, God told Moses, make sure you tell the people, all of the 3,000 or 3 million men and women and children and even their animals, don't come near the mountain when you and I are in fellowship, because if they do, if they even touch it, the holiness of my presence will take their life away. And I don't want them to die prematurely. They're not ready. So my holiness will offend their defiled lifestyle. Or you could say their defiled lifestyle will offend my sterile lifestyle. I don't know where you're in on that, but that's really true. In fact, you go into a medical community and you watch the surgeon scrub. Now, this isn't a bullet wound on the battlefield where you just do everything you can. This is going to be overseen and meticulously planned out. And so they make sure there's a sterile environment to bring forth health and healing and wellness to the patient. And God is like that. So he's saying there's a holy place that if unholiness touches it, the unholiness will defile the holy. That was in the Old Testament. The whole Levitical system was built on that. And even things that you eat to a point in the old covenant. So the person that was defiled, I'm going somewhere with this, the person that was defiled, their hands, by reason of who they were or weren't, communicated what they had or did not have. So if a defiled person touched something holy, that holy thing became defiled. It reminds me of the testimony of Apostle John G. Lake. In the 40s and 50s, he was an Englishman, and God sent him to Africa into the bubonic plague and the different plagues that were decimating the local peoples. And he went in there under the direction and anointing of God. I've got his writings, and there's pictures of him. He would wear a white overcoat when he would minister, and very, very holy and reverent to the Lord. And he walked close with God, and he would pray for people, and they would get healed, and they would even put the germs in his hands, and he wasn't afraid of it because he was there to contact the people. And then they tested the specimens coming out of his hands, and the germs were dead. Well, that's a true story. And here's another true story. In 1995, when my wife and I were ministering in the island nation of Trinidad, which is going through, you know, great chaotic economics right now, I just pray that God bless them. But one of the cities we ministered in, I was ministering in the port of Spain, the capital city. It was a Wednesday morning service. It was a packed house. I mean, a large church. Come on, America, wake up and come to church. I just really feel it in my heart. You know, come and hear the words of the Lord. Touch God's people. I was there preaching, and the minister and the staff was on their plat. They sit all there and watch the people. And one came down as I was in the prayer altar, and it was toward the end. It was over here. And he whispered over and he said, "He's dying of AIDS. Be careful if you touch him." I remember his face was all pale and ashen, and it was very scaly, and I could tell, wow. And the anointing in me, just I reached over and I began to put my hand on his shoulder and pray for him in his ear. And now, then we ministered in the other seven cities during that outreach campaign, the other ministers and myself and my wife. And while I cannot confirm or deny how that prayer went for him, I can tell you that I'm still here. And when the anointing is moving, the anointing of God releases a touch. Will you say, "Touch me, Jesus. Touch me, Jesus." Leviticus chapter 7, verse 21, perhaps sums up the negative element, and then I want to move forward and then invite you to practice these ways of touching the Lord. I have three of them to share with you. You can do them. We can do them here this morning. In fact, we will. But moreover, the Lord said to Moses, "You tell my people, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of a man or an uncleanness of a beast or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of a sacrifice of the peace offerings which pertain to the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from the people." So what the Lord was saying was, though you verify by contact, what you contact can contact you. And so we want to be aware of that in the realm of the Spirit. And then in Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15, the Lord was telling Moses, this is how this is going to outlive you. It just can't be you on the mountain, Moses. You've got to communicate this in such a way that the successive generation can understand it and then practice it so they too can have the blessings of God in their life. And then Moses was told to tell Aaron, who was his brother, his older brother, he said, "Aaron, now you go tell the people that as you're serving the people moving toward the promised land, and when you cover the sanctuary, all the vessels of the sanctuary, and the camp moves forward, make sure that the sons of Kohath come to carry the load. But they shall not touch the holy things." We're talking about touch today. "They shall not touch the holy things, lest they touch it and die." It's like, oh my, what's he trying to communicate? And then it says this, "These things are the burdens of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of congregation." Here's the point I want to share with you. There is something unique and individual for you to do that no one else can do. It's like your fingerprint or your DNA. It's the same way in the realm of God's workings in the Spirit. The sons of Kohath were not to jump over and do what the sons of Merari were doing. Joshua couldn't be Moses. He needed to wait for Moses to complete his job and then come in and do what he was supposed to do. So that's a good thing. I want to invite you to say, "Jesus, will you put my hands on what my hands are supposed to do?" Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. So there's a unique God-given purpose for your life. Jesus comes on the scene and almost radically, literally, turns the whole tables upside down. He did it two times. He did it at the beginning of his public ministry when he came into the temple and he saw the shenanigans going on in the money table. And then he did it at the last week of his ministry when the same shenanigans were still going on. And the Son of God is walking around all the time. People don't change until Jesus touches them. He was willing to speak, and he was willing to let you see him, but what he really, really wanted was for your hands to handle him. Will you reach out and touch Jesus today? You got a touch. You heard. I'm gesturing to those that are watching on the internet. To Sister Diane, beloved friends of my family, my own personal life, they've blessed our youth on their river. Taking them skiing. Some of those youth now are fathers and mothers. And when the report came that you heard that you have days to 6 weeks to live, I happened to be at your house that day visiting you because the cancer had migrated and 8 lesions and tumors formed in your brain. You heard that. I'll never forget. Tears started coming in my eyes when I saw Darren, your son. I thought, he's not ready to let go of his mom. And I'm not ready to let go of my friend. And you said, but I'm holding on. Say holding on. To God's promise that he gave to me. Now don't say this, but she said it through your wife, Colleen. God gave her a word to give to her. And she just didn't stop at hearing it. She took hold of it. And you're still here preaching the word, loving Jesus. Your hands have handled Jesus. Oh, I got to keep going. This is good. So Jesus comes and turns the tables over 2 times, turns it upside down. I heard Bill Johnson say this. I want to honor the house of God out there in Bethel or Redding, California, where many of our leaders go and get refreshed. It's a great place to be. I believe in what the Holy Spirit is doing there. I've met Bill Johnson. I don't know him real well, but I do know him enough. I said, you know, we're moving in the same direction. Do I have your permission to replicate what you're doing? He said, by all means, Tim, do it and take it farther. And now we've got a campus. I can't wait till they come here and bless our campus. So, but he said this. He said, you know, in the Old Testament, and I've labored a little bit showing you that you can become unclean when you touch something unclean. That's why the Lord said, don't eat with fornicators. This is even in the New Testament. If you know someone that's not living right and they're glaringly doing it, not struggling to get out of it, you heard our brother, Lord, when are you going to take this away? Whatever it is. On the other hand, if you sin with a high hand against God, that touch goes through you to other people. And God said, don't bless them. Don't eat with them. Don't even fellowship with them, because that's going to impact or influence or transfer to you. Unless the anointing is on you, and if the anointing's on you, then you'll be making a difference with them. That's the litmus test. There is a walking away like Jesus and sorrowing because they're just not getting it. But I'm not going down to hell with you. I got too much to do on the positive side of the kingdom. Yeah. So Jesus comes in, turns the table over, and instead of, now let's get to the positive side, because instead of something defiling me by me touching it, the perfect one can touch me and take the defilement away. That's like positive ions. Or what do you, you know, getting into electromagnetic, it reverses the whole culture. It's important, the positive power of a personal touch. John said, our hands have handled of the word of life. The woman with the issue of blood is a good one. And then I'll come back to this in another time. I wanted to share this with you because this will help you make a difference with your life. It's been helping me. There was a realm that Jesus was walking in. In Matthew chapter 9, I love the way Matthew starts it. While Jesus was speaking to the people, behold, a certain ruler of the synagogue came and said, broke through and said, my daughter is even now dead, but if you come and lay your hand, if Jesus, you lay your hand upon her, I know that she'll live. And so Jesus arose. He was moved in compassion, gets out of his schedule and starts following him. While he's following him, let me break into the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. And this is what the account Luke, he was there writing and taking the details down. So Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house. His daughter's near death. And in the journey, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all she had from her living her finances on the physicians, but none of them could heal her. She came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, pressing through the crowd, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. It was cauterized. It stopped flowing. There was no more issue. And Jesus said, who touched me? So was he touching her or was she touching him? I mean, I think, you know, there's no sense getting semantical about it. What's important is that the miracle took place. And all were denying touching. So finally Peter said, hey, Jesus, Master, the whole multitude is thronging you and pressing against you. And you're saying, who touched me? And Jesus said, I'm not talking about a natural touch. He said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus, Luke chapter 8 and verse 47, and says how she was immediately healed. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spoke, there came one from the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, your daughter is dead, trouble not the master. So you see what's happening? He's on his way to help someone who asks him, will you come and put your hand on my daughter? And while he's doing that, thank you, Holy Spirit's 1137. This is a revelation that just came to me by now. When you start something in faith, someone else can get on the blessing. You start giving, someone else will give. You start praying, you start being positive, stop criticizing the president, you'll shut it down in a minute. Or if you don't, vote with your feet and leave the unbeliever, leave the disobedient, and find the culture of the believing and the culture of the obedient. That's what Jesus did. He didn't hang around trying to contend with sinners that wouldn't quit. He was helping those that were crying out, reaching out, but have not yet grabbed the hold of. I want to tell you, I am reaching out to touch Jesus. There will be a day in my earthly life when the memorial service plans were interrupted by the resurrection, and here they are talking about it. In my name, believers will raise the dead. I believe in the miracle power of Jesus, and I'm willing to wait for it till the Holy Spirit stirs it up, But that woman was pressing in to get a hold of what Jesus was in motion to do. Is anybody getting a hold of that? Because in Matthew chapter 8, a little before this, the other guy in the northern, you know, Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee. There's 10 cities around there, prominent cities. Here he was going to Jairus's, but the day or 2 days before, the ruler, the centurion guy, the Roman guy says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you can come to my house, but if you only speak the word, what'd he say? My servant will be. So he's employing one of the methods that God uses of speaking. And so if he hears Jesus say it, there was faith there, but that's not the same. That's not the same. There's a touch. Not the same. When I was holding your husband's hand on Friday, he wouldn't let me go. And actually, you came in and you didn't interrupt. He's your husband. But we were having a man-to-man time. And weeping together. And I thought, am I going to pull him through? Sometimes when they go, it's just like, isn't there something just way down deep? I just want to follow them. It's perfect over there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He turns around and says, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. So he already knows, gosh, this thing's working and I'm not even there yet. So he keeps going. Look at the next verse. And while he yet spoke, there come one from the ruler's house saying, your daughter's dead, trouble not the master. Did you ever get some? Forget it. There's no one coming anymore. Close down the church. Someone said to me, well, you better go find out what you can do during the day. I thought, I'm sure glad you didn't call me to the ministry. Jesus did. And he's never let anyone down, especially Diane, when you got a hold. Say, I got a hold of his promise. And I am not letting go. I don't know, my family, my mother, my father forsake me. The Lord says in Psalm 27, then the Lord will take you up. And I thank God that that doesn't happen. But if it does, don't let go of the Lord's promise. So this guy comes and says, forget it, it's over. And Jesus heard that. And now he's going to speak before he touches. He said, fear not. But believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in except Peter, James, and John. I love my elders around my life. I love eating with you. I love hanging with you. And if, you know, you I get a little off course, you get me back on course. If you're off, I get you on. And it's just good to have the right people around you. So Peter, James, and John are there, and they're all weeping. She's already dead. The father and the mother of the maiden, the girl's parents, Jesus calms them down and says, "Don't weep. She's not dead, but she's only sleeping." They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called her, saying, "Tabitha, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway. When he touched her, took the hand of one dead by the hand and spoke life into her. Her spirit came again. She arose straightway, commanded her to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. And he charged them, saying, "Don't tell anyone what was done." Well, of course, that good news spread around, and Jesus became a very busy, fruitful man. It's probably the first year and a half into his ministry. He couldn't get away from Galilee. He was going around all the city. It says he healed many. Mark chapter 3 goes on to say, "In so much that as they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues, he healed them." And then it says that they would even put people out into the streets. Someone was talking about my shadow last week. Who was that? Raise your hand, asking me about my holy shadow. Thank you, Sharon. I said, "Lord, this is how you operated." When they were gone over, he came into the land of Galilee, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into the country round about and just brought people on the roadway that were diseased, that they might only touch the hem of his garment he was passing by, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Well, how did they hear? They heard about the lady that got healed. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I think you're catching the point. One of the things I really like this. I'll give you the 3 points. I won't be able to develop them in depth, but they're easy to catch. Is the power of transfer moves through the human touch, especially when there's a spiritual motion taking place. On both sides of the ledger. Both sides of the ledger. Someone told me this morning, who's witnessing, one of our ministers, witnessing to someone at the fair yesterday, rolled up his sleeve, and there's 666. He was an avowed Satanist. "I don't believe in what you're doing. All faces all disfigured with piercings and metal and all kind of things." Person like that's looking for identity. Jesus gives you identity. Your God-given, human-born identity that originated in heaven. But as he began to share, it repulsed the person and they went away. There's a real transfer that takes place. When light shines in the darkness doesn't comprehend it. And if the spirit isn't been touched by the Lord, it'll work its way away from the situation. So we are encouraged to reach out and touch Jesus. And one of the things that I want to share before I give you these three is how this works. In the Gospel of Matthew, as the children were flocking around Jesus, the leaders, let's let the older people, this isn't about children. And Jesus stopped the whole thing and said, "Let them come that I might touch them." And he put his hands on them and blessed them. He marked them. Well, where'd he get that from? Roll the clock back 33 years. And a pregnant girl named Mary, that whose husband, I don't know, there's definitely some disconnect there. It took Joseph a while to get this, that this was going to be something new. He didn't call Airbnb and get a room. He had to use the stable. She brings forth that baby, and as they make it to Jerusalem after the taxation, she's wondering, we're not even really totally Jewishly betrothed yet. So she comes into the temple, and you know who took the baby up? Yes, Andy. That's my brother. Simeon said, "Now your servant may depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, and my hands have held the glory of Israel." And I bless him. He blessed the infant Jesus and set in motion that power to bless by the touch of an 80-year-old man on a little infant boy. So we bless our children. I want to invite you to say, Jesus, my hands are available to be your hands. I want to handle the word of life. I want to make a difference with my touch. When I lay hands on the sick, I ask you to help them recover. They began to bring infants to Jesus that he would touch them. Luke 18, 15 says that he would touch them and bless them. Let me give you three as we close with communion. Ushers, will you come and get this ready? Here's how you can touch Jesus in the 21st century, the year 2019. Number one, three ways you handle Jesus is in, number one, and perhaps most importantly, in words of prayer for people. The Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he that touches Israel touches the apple of my eye. He's saying that when you touch people, you're touching me. So when you bless me, you're blessing Jesus. Now remember, the negative touch is also a power that we can set in motion. If you set a negative word in motion, the Lord said, you're touching me that way. And I've learned in Psalm 105, I've learned a long, long, long time ago, I think I was 18 years old, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I was going to have the people move, but in light of, no, why don't you guys do the work? Yeah, so I can borrow a few more minutes. So number one, you touch the Lord by praying for people. Number two, you touch the Lord when you, in worship and praise, pour forth your emotions to the Lord. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 37, when there was a woman in the city which was a sinner, listen as the communion is poured out. There was a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in a Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at Jesus' feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him, invited him there, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. So in this house, this woman that is a known sinner is touching Jesus, and he's okay with that because her heart was right. So how do you handle Jesus? Number one, you handle him with words of prayer. Number two, you handle him with worship and praise. You actually touch Jesus when you do that. And then number three, and this is going on a lot here in Eagles Nest Church, you touch the Lord in works that are prepared for you to do. Good works prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God ordains works for you to do, and he wants you to enjoy doing them, knowing that he will reward you. I love Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Listen to these words, please. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. The scripture says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has from the very beginning ordained that we should walk in them. So Eagles Nest Church feeding the hungry through the food pantry is not so much a labor of effort, it's an act of obedience. He's ordained for us to do it. When that businessman put $1 million check in my hand 2 weeks ago to increase the flow of our food, it was just a step in the process of being obedient. It was effortless. I really did nothing to make that happen other than be available when someone else said, I want you to meet this person. Amazing. What good works has God ordained for you to do? It's a very good question for you to ask. As we partake of communion this morning, I'm asking the Lord to touch you. Or am I asking you to reach out and touch the Lord? Maybe there's a crowd hindering you. Maybe that crowd is in the form of public radio. Or maybe a political vantage point. It's hindering your grabbing a hold of the hand that was nail-scarred for you and for me. Thank you, Jesus. We touch the Lord in our words of prayer. We touch the Lord in our worship and praise poured out. We touch the Lord in our works prepared for you to do. Remember Kohath, I'm calling you to ride the wagons carrying the heavy boards. Don't reach down and take the oil or the spices. That's for the ladies to do. Everyone in their rightful place, the body of Christ ministering to one another, and the church advancing into the community in every generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you take that cup and join me in standing, please? Let's honor the Lord. Let's touch Him. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for touching us. We sing a song around here, just one touch, and everything will change. We thank you that this cup represents the blood that was shed on the cross. It was given freely for the forgiveness of sins for whoever would believe, whoever would come after, at whatever point in their life. And this morning, I touch the children. I touch the children with the sound of my words and with the ministry of our church, that you would put a hedge of protection round about them, that they would effortlessly walk in the ways of God and hear the words of the Lord and see God sightings, have encounters with angels. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All the way to the most senior among us in their 80s and 90s, there will be those of us that will live well into their hundreds, declaring a new season of grace-filled obedience. Not white-knuckled obedience, trying to please God, but God effortlessly gracing you to take the next step in His plan for your life. If you're willing to reach out and take a hold of that, just hold up that cup in your right hand toward the Lord you serve and agree with these words that Jesus spoke. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, borei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of eternity, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll take the bread and hold it in the other hand. Lord, thank you that your body was broken. It was whipped. It was crowned with thorns and your blood poured down your brow. Thank you for yielding your hands, not to heal the sick, but thank you, Jesus, for yielding your hands to the blow and strike of the nails and letting your feet take that nail for us, hanging on that cross. And thank you for yielding your side to the spear in a perfect, innocent obedience as the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Your body was broken. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, hamotze lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, Lord our God, forever King, who brings forth bread for man to take in his hand and eat. Thank you, Jesus. Give us living bread and living water here today as we partake of His elements. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to a recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter. Please visit EaglesNestChurch.net for more.